joining us now, we have the CEO of the Vertical Groove Driver, Jeff Berry, joins us. Jeff, welcome into the golf shop.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, North Carolina.
Yeah, there you go. I was just on the website building a driver. I'm almost ready to click add to cart.
Well, pay up, baby. Pay up. I just need shoes.
Yeah, I hear you. So does my kid. I have an 11-week-old. He's going to need shoes. Lots of shoes coming up. Yeah.
Oh, he needs a golf club, too.
Yes, he does. He does.
So just buy two. Quantity, two.
Double down. We don't know if he's right-handed or left-handed yet, though, Mike.
We have either one.
I know. Yeah. I saw that.
Buy both.
All right. So I got to ask right out of the gate. This is a different concept. People aren't used to seeing vertical grooves on a driver. So give me kind of the backstory of how this developed and, what did you have to do with the USGA to get it approved?
Sure. The inventor was Anthony Antonius, and he's an inventor that's invented many things, one being the Velcro on a golf glove. He invented this a few years ago, and unfortunately, Anthony died before it became fruition. So the family sold off his patents, this being one of them, and one of our principals got a hold of it and then gathered the rest of us, the five of us, to join in and market this. And so it went around the horn a couple of years, and then myself and Tim Krocek, we were out of Boston, private equity guys. We heard about it through Josh Miller, who used to play for the Patriots and the Steelers. And I've done charity work with Josh in the past when he was up in New England. And so we were told about this. We did our due diligence, Tim and I, and our skepticism was truly at a 10. So after about 3 weeks, we flew down to Jupiter, Florida, where we met with the other guys and went right to the range, straight to the range. And I told Tim on the flight down, I said, look, there's two things that have to happen here. I have to have sound and I have to have feel. So we hit our own clubs first, and then they gave us the vertical groove driver. And I hit three shots, and I kind of peeked up at Tim with a grin, and he's looking back at me, and it was, holy cow, this is different. Now, I'm a 12, so I can slice the ball into the woods farther than anybody. And that has been reduced.
Mm.
So go ahead. Sorry.
Well, Jeff, when you look back at what the inventor felt like he had discovered in these vertical grooves and in his paperwork and his patents, what jumped out to you guys, even before you got to the range, that made this seem like it could actually be an innovation that the golf market needs?
Well, Tim and I are kind of like quant guys. I mean, but by no means am I a scientist or an engineer. Tim might be a little bit more on that. But looking at it and understanding to a point, and I'm not going to try to buffalo you here, but looking at it, the grooves in the lands, the way they're laid out, there's actually, if you have a picture of it in front of you, mm-hmm. there's actually a sound wave going across on the perforation of the groove.
I see it.
So apparently that creates a resonator that resonates a sound wave in order for, creating harmonics and feedback, which strikes the ball, causing a lower spin and a forward spin, reducing side spin, which we all know puts it in the woods.
Right.
Hook or slice.
Yeah.
I can see that the horizontal grooves could, more readily lead to side spin. And these could actually, these vertical grooves are almost like stoppers that can keep,
exactly.
really reduce that side spin.
They almost grab the ball from both sides.
Right.
Ah. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking on a My Golf Spy forum, and somebody says, tested against the number one selling drivers today, all of which use horizontal grooves. The groove outperformed in length and accuracy on carry, increased as much as 10 yards with accuracy improvements of 40% on average. So is that that's good to hear, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a statement that both Ruben and I made on that interview a couple days ago, and we went out to Golf Labs to do that with Iron Byron, and those are the results we got. Now with the human result, it's even more.
Wow.
It's astonishing.
Is that because, Iron Byron doesn't make mistakes and humans do. So this is not, so this is not only, getting distance, but increasing accuracy and reducing your number of really screwed up shots. That's what we're saying.
Absolutely. And therefore what happens? You build your confidence.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know,
you address that ball knowing where the ball's going to go, as opposed to wondering where the ball's going to go.
That would be nice.
And I'm going to give you props too. I'm going to give you props because I remember a couple years ago at the PGA Merchandise Show in January down in Orlando, you know, TaylorMade always has this tremendous line at Demo Day of people wanting to try all their new stuff because, you know, we pick on it all the time. They roll something new out every 4 or 5 months, it seems like. So
correct.
One year I'm out there and I get there early and I get to go test their driver. Well, I'm hitting and for some reason I always hit TaylorMade drivers way right. And I think it's because they've made them so light and I can't feel where the club head is sometimes. But, you know, I asked the guy that's fitting me, supposedly fitting me, and I'm holding up the quotation marks. And I said, well, what about shafts? And I'm like, you've got me in a 60-gram shaft that's way too light. Well, no, this is the shaft that you need. Well, what if I don't like this shaft? Well, do you have another one that I can try? Well, no, this is all we have. So wait, you're doing a demo day and you don't have different shafts. Lo and behold, I go out to your website. And there's ladies, senior, regular, stiff, tour, and then there's options inside of the ones that you choose. I love the fact that you actually give people options.
Well, I appreciate that. We're going to be adding even more shafts in very shortly.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge. I mean, you can say that one shaft is good for everybody, but I don't believe it. The shaft is one of the most important elements of a golf club.
You and I could both be the same handicap, shoot the same score, but we have totally different swings.
Right. Yeah, not every guy on the PGA Tour uses the same shaft. I'm sorry.
No, not at all. Not at all. And a lot of those guys out on tour now are starting to go up to 10.5 lot. They understand it now.
All right, so you had your aha moment with your guys, and you're out there, and you're like, okay, this is worth making the investment. I mean, to get from an aha moment to a business and a website actually selling golf clubs in a very crowded market, what had to happen for you guys, including tell us a story about getting your, you know, getting it past the USGA and the RNA?
The USGA was probably about a 30-day window, and there were no questions. It was it. As long as it met all of their requirements, it was golden. And so that really wasn't as difficult. I mean, I would like to say it was, and I would like to say we strived to get through that, but it was pretty simple. From the aha moment, once we decided, okay, let's launch this, let's go, we went through, again, the R&D, more R&D, Iron Byron, even more so. We went up against all of the big guys, took, you know, shaft for shaft, club for club, and went up and used them out at golf labs. Keep in mind, we're not trying to be one of the big boys. Those are good companies out there. But nothing has come to the table in, what, 20 years with something truly different.
Right.
Everything has been so minute that we can't tell. There's a little face difference or a little club, you know, color, you know, adjustability is all over the place now. But what really has changed, in my opinion, since adjustability, or even go back further, when we went from, you know, persimmon to the Big Bertha, I mean, that was a major change.
Yeah.
So I find that this is a drastic change that actually has credibility. And as we talked about, 10 yards longer, 40% more accuracy.
Yeah, again, we're talking with Jeff Berry, the CEO of Vertical Groove Driver. And to that point, Jeff, is that, you know, we always hear these companies rolling out the new club. And again, I'm going to use TaylorMade because they're the ones that roll some stuff out the most. And every time they roll out the M1, the M2, and I'm pretty sure the M3 is getting ready to debut shortly. You know, Jason Day's hitting it 10, 15 yards longer. Well, if he's hitting it 10 or 15 yards longer every time they roll out a new club, he's hitting it 5-10 off the tee right now.
Right.
And the thing that people have to understand is that, you know, okay, so Jason Day at an average swing speed with a driver of what, I don't know, 120, 125 miles an hour is getting 10 more yards. The average golfer's club head speed with a driver is like 85. So what is that person?
That's correct.
That person's getting maybe a yard at best. So when you start talking about making a difference, and you're sitting here telling me, hey, you know, the Iron Byron got 40% more accuracy with this club, and you're saying the average golfer is going to get more. To me, that's a huge, huge change.
When you hit this club, you will say that. This is a huge change.
Wow.
I have not had anybody at a demo day or friends that I put the club into their hands saying that this is not for me. This is no good. And we've had almost every pro you can imagine or that you can name hit this club. They all want it. but they're under contract.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So we are probably a couple of weeks away from signing a few guys to be the face of this driver. I can't tell you who they are yet, but and some of them are a year away from getting out of their contracts, and they want the driver now. They all have it, but they can't use it.
Right. Now, a question about the rollout of the product itself. I mean, you as a left-handed player, kudos to you for not ignoring my people. but again, when you're dealing with a boutique and at some level almost a handmade product, expanding the line can sometimes get you into trouble financially. And you guys have decided to offer left and right, and you've got three different lofts on the face, and you've got all these different shafts. What went into that decision? I mean, did you worry about the risk?
No, not at all. It was simple. I believe we figured it's like 18% of all golfers are lefties, and it's a bigger number than I thought. And I'm a lefty, but not in golf for some reason. But at my club, I golf out of Turner Hill up in Ipswich, Massachusetts. I would say we have 15 lefties in the club.
Well, I'll tell you this: Mark is from Marshfield, and
yep.
I'm from Lexington. So this is.
Oh, I grew up in Arlington.
Okay, this is like I went to Matignon, so this is like old
home
week.
It's a reunion.
I went to Arlington High. We hated Matignon.
That's because you weren't very good at hockey, I imagine.
No. I played hockey there. Come on.
See, I played hockey in Marshfield, so there you go.
All right, well, we've just lost all of our listeners in the South. One of my questions for you as this thing evolves, though, you're venture capital guys. Are you looking to own this technology and then have a TaylorMade or a Callaway come to you and pay you huge money for this technology, or do you want to be in the golf club business?
Well, I mean, obviously, if someone knocks at the door with a big check, I'm going to listen to them. But the initial idea is to build this up. We're going to roll out adjustability. We're going to roll out fairway woods and hybrids. We have the patent all the way down to the putter. I don't have any data for you for any of that those clubs yet, but we're definitely going to fairway and hybrid. Mm. We've heard through our contacts that somebody like a TaylorMade, if they were to buy this, they would have to go and take $1 billion or $500 million worth of inventory and throw it away.
Mm.
And I was recently in China, out at the factory that makes the head for us. And they also, and I visited another factory where all the majors are made. It couldn't go into the floors where they're being made, but they were making 2018 clubs already. So, they would have to just throw it away.
Right.
Wow. All right, so how do you go after the market share, and how do you get this out in front of people? I mean, obviously through avenues like ours, but, I mean, do you go to a merchandise show? Do you go to golf shows? How do you do this?
Yeah, we're not, like we said, we're not sure if we're going to go to what capacity we're going to be at the PGA, but right now it's all e-commerce with social media blasts and demo days and green grass. And we do not have any intention whatsoever to go to brick and mortar.
Mm. Okay, I like it. I like it a lot.
So, yeah, kind of bucking it a little bit. I mean, you can get lost in brick and mortar, and you really have no control in those big stores.
All right. So all of our listeners that are interested, it is VertGolf, VertGolf.com.
Yes.
Nice.
Buy two.
Buy two. One for you and one for your small child.
Well, your kids need two shoes, You need a left and a right.
So when you start talking about, we always ask what's next, you kind of threw it out there. So, I mean, we know that three woods, it seems like, have a little more flexibility in what you can do with them and how hot some of these three woods get to be. I mean, do you see the same types of results with anything that you may have prototyped so far? I mean,
yes,
longer,
absolutely.
Straighter?
Yeah, absolutely, we do, yes. Much more control. I mean, a lot of these pros have gone down to three wood because their drivers are out of control.
Yeah.
Henrik Stenson. So far, they're so strong, they're so fast in the swing that they've dropped to a three wood just to keep it in the fairway.
You know, Tiger Woods is an under club contract.
Just no, I know. He's in our radar. How's that? I spent all week in Jupiter. I'm down in Key West, Florida right now, and so I'll be heading back up to Jupiter and talking with more people. I sat with the Nicholases for lunch this week, and we had some very interesting conversations.
Yeah, I'm sure nobody else is calling Tiger.
No.
I mean, come on now.
Right.
Get a hold of Bubba. Bubba's apparently got Tiger's phone number from the Ryder Cup. So You know, he can get tough.
And you make lefties, and it helps with control. This should, this club should be called the Bubba.
I love that Boston wit.
There you go. Well, Jeff, man, we appreciate you coming on with us. We hope much success comes your way, and hopefully I get to hit one of these things soon because I'd love to hit it.
All right, coming your way soon.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks for your time, guys. Take care.